What is up, everybody? This is Recap Rewind. I'm Jay Lag.
And I'm NB.
And this episode is recapping and reviewing Riverdale Season 7, Episode 3. And it's called Chapter 120, Sex Education.
Ooh, and don't forget, guys, stick around for the end of the podcast. We're going to go through our recap roundups, our best moments, our best lines, and your guys' recap roundups. So stick around for that.
As always, to our continuing listeners and our brand new ones, thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe to the channel. Let us get into this.
We have a lot to get in deep. What'd you think?
What a sexy episode. Super duper sexy.
So sexy. Like,
I feel like it was one of the sexiest episodes we've ever had, and we're like in the 1950s. So like,
no, like J-Lag, it was the sexiest episode we've ever had. Like, there's no, I texted J-Lag like at 9 o'clock in the morning, and I was like, oh my god.
Yeah, it was just this, like that, and then a gif.
For me, top three best episode of all time.
That's huge.
In the top three, for sure. Massive, for sure. Massive.
I thought it was really well done, very artistic. Like, yeah, they took a really cool take on the vibe of it. And it almost had like a film noir-y opening. So like, they were mixing a bunch of different feelings into this one episode, I feel. Like, the story with Ethel Mugg started very, like, yeah, film noir-y with, like, yeah, the music and, like, the wow, like, the trumpet. Yeah. And then it moved into, like, something sexy, and that was its own vibe.
It's, like, drum beat that was, yeah, so hot throughout the whole episode.
Super cool. And I wonder if it is kind of, like, throwing back to the 50s era. I'm not really sure what the music storyline was back then.
I feel like they were not copying, but like they were taking inspiration from a movie, but I could be wrong. I don't know. I didn't do my research.
Yeah,
but
that sounds about right.
It was so artistic, and like, it felt like Euphoria a little bit. Like, I was like, Riverdale doesn't do this. Like, Euphoria, yeah, has these really beautiful sequence moments, and there's no talking. It's just like, whatever. And I'm like, right, this is so hot.
It was very
sexy. I loved it, and I love the music. Oh my god, I just loved it. I was very caught off guard. I was like, Riverdale, you don't do this. And you're right, to your point, like, we are in the most like non-sexy time in history, and we're getting this sexy.
Exactly. And I think that, like, I guess the theme of the entire episode, like the sexual awakening of,
I loved, you know, it,
that age, yeah, was cool. It was a cool take on how they did it all. But
yeah,
yeah, it was great. I thought it was really, really well done.
Oh my god, it was so freaking good. And I just, like, I can't help but sit in these moments and really think, like, oh my god, I wish we got this from before. Like, I wish this was, you know,
it's hard because, like, it works specifically for this episode, yeah, because of the time that they're in. And like, really, this throw, like, you know, going back in time, like, really did a hard reset in terms of what they can do with the world and what they can do with the characters, which I'm excited to talk, yeah, to you about too, like kind of mix and matching people. And so I think that we wouldn't have been able to get this any other way, but I agree. Like, some of these elements could have easily been moved into the
other seasons, like
originals. Yeah.
Sorry. There's something seasons in my eye, and I'm like, I'm not crying because the episode was so sexy, but
don't cry.
Like, for example, I know we'll get into this later too, but like, just take it, for example, Archie, like how you were saying last week, he's been this such an aggressive, violent, like, extra, yes, character. Very. And in this episode, he was just like this hornified little boy who like wanted, yeah, to just like experience like his pee-pee getting touched, and like just like the most like basic level, like, yeah, he had simple, no other intentions. Like, even when Julian was like, oh, my sister's experience, he was like, yes. And
he was like, what does that even
like
mean?
Wait, Archie, really, like, is that really you? But I'm like, it is him in this version of Riverdale. Like, yeah, that is who Archie is, and like, it's just so cute.
Yeah,
love it.
Like I said, like, all the characters kind of have a different take on themselves, and I think his is the most dramatic, yeah, dramatic difference.
Yeah.
Like, we haven't seen this innocent Archie in so long, you know?
Yeah.
And one of the things I think we mentioned, or we didn't mention, one of our listeners mentioned in the comments is, right off the top, it's because, you know, in his high school world, like in the original series seasons, he had like an adult relationship with like Miss Grundy from the get-go. And like his trauma started from there. You know what I mean? So like his innocence and that idea of his innocence, this boyish attitude, was lost so early on. So when we meet him, he's like, he feels more adult. He even though he's still a bit of a dope all throughout the series, he lost that innocence at such a young age, and that trauma followed him. So when you see him in this world, you know, we joked about it last episode, but a lot of people called it out too and said, yeah, like it's just because that innocent boy is not who we met in the first season. Like that's not who he was when we first met. He was having an affair with a teacher, you know, like it's done after that, you know? So
yeah,
I feel like that has something to do with it too. And watching him explore his sexuality in this way versus explore it with a teacher in a very inappropriate way.
100%.
Was really like, yeah, very refreshing. And almost like a joyful moment for us to experience, because we wouldn't have experienced any other way, right? That's how the whole series kicked off with The Secret Affair. So anyway, let's get into the episode. Let's get into
it.
Starts off with Jughead narrating. 1955, he's setting the scene. They had never seen anything like this before. Ethel was covered, so it is confirmed that it was her parents' blood.
Yeah.
And their bodies were found in her house, stabbed multiple times. And she says that the milkman did it. That's all she could really bring up, is like the milkman did it. And anyway, we can probably talk through like,
can we just quickly talk about right now? What's your initial thought on that? Like when you heard that, what did you think?
I mean, originally I thought that sounds really fishy, but of course I believed her, because I don't think that a person that killed their parents would walk in bloodied from their house all the way to a dance covered in their parents' blood unless they were traumatized.
Right. 100%.
And were like, I need to get out of my house.
I don't know what to do.
Yeah, exactly. Like Jughead's going to be at the dance. Like, you know, as much as it's a dramatic moment for us to have seen it last episode, like her showing up at the dance all bloody, we also, like, that doesn't make sense for someone to do that if they actually killed their parents. So right off the top, I think she's innocent. I think she's telling the truth. It's Ethel freaking Muggs. Like, she's not going to do anything.
Yeah.
I do have a few theories about what's happening with this, like, milkman murderer, because that's not the only thing that we saw in the original trailer. We also saw something else, someone else being attacked. I think it was Archie. So I think there is a little serial killer maybe popping out of comic books, lurking in this town, and maybe it has to do with this time jump, and maybe it's all because it's all like twisted timelines and all that magic stuff. So I don't know. What do you think about it all?
I think you're 100% right. I think when we look at Ethel Muggs, like, you know, she is like this sort of like sweet-ish girl. And like looking at it now, I definitely don't think she did it. I think that would be way too obvious. And, you know, that just wouldn't, you know, it'd be boring. But I do have a theory. And I think it's Hal.
Oh, to kind of echo the fact that it happened last season.
Yeah. And like,
interesting. Or I like feel the like, original.
No, world. Like in this version, like he is still the Black Hood. And I'll tell you why I think that. Because first of all, it was so freaking random that like they took her into their house. I was like, Betty has not spoken ever to Ethel. Like it was just very random, but I was like, okay, I'll take it. But then he was like, what is she doing here or something? And Alice was like, don't worry, I'll clean up. Like, I'll figure this out. Or like, I'll clean up your something along the lines of like, I'll either clean up your mess or like something like that. And I was
like, I think it was a lot of like, you're not going to be here to support.
So that's why I think it's Hal. But yeah, like, I don't know. I could be totally wrong. It could make sense as to like, he is still shady in this sort of version of Riverdale too. I just found it weird that like, I don't know. It just like irked me, and I just had a bad feeling.
I feel like there's something that has to do with him for sure, because like, why are you hiring this character back in? Like, he was pretty much, he was so irrelevant like after the Black Hood storyline that like, why are you even here anymore?
Also,
Also,
like later on in the episode, Betty does refer to having a sister. Did we know that she had a sister?
No, not up until that point.
Did I miss something?
she just mentions the fact that she's like, oh, you can stay in my sister's room.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to ask you the same question. Like, what happened to Polly in this world? Like, did she actually die? So she does exist.
Yeah.
Or did she, like, leave? Like, we don't really actually, there's really no mention on, like, what her storyline is at all. So.
Okay, so, yeah, I thought I was going crazy. I was like, I swear, I don't remember hearing anything about that.
She does say that that's the case. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, this is a perfect time to like talk about that scene. Like you mentioned, Alice and Hal talk about bringing in Ethel. Hal is cheesed. Betty talks to Ethel and she's like, don't worry, girl, you can stay in my sister's room. Which, yeah, I'm interested to see if Polly's going to make an appearance. She always makes a mysterious appearance. So it'll be interesting to see if like her, the twins, even like her kids, like, is that even a relevant storyline this season? Who knows? And then it has this pan over to a comic book, which we find out about a little bit later, on Jughead's floor. Then it cuts to Penelope at Thorncliff, whatever, and she sees this painting of a pinup girl that Cheryl's drawing, and she gets really pissed off. And it's funny because I mentioned, I think in the first episode when we get introduced to Penelope, I'm like, oh, she's not like this crazy uber religious,
spoke too soon.
She's still over that whole thing about, like, you know, Cheryl being a juvenile delinquent or a delinquent and being a lesbian. And so anyway, at breakfast, Penelope wants Cheryl to have a boyfriend, and she talks about the painting, stop painting all these girls. And as Cheryl storms off, because she's like, it's for a project, mom, for school, she just leaves. And she talks to Julian. Penelope talks to Julian and says she's worried about girl, I want her to find a boyfriend, and she's worried about her being a lesbian, essentially. And Julian's like, okay, fine. And it's interesting because I wanted to talk to you about the relationship Julian has with Cheryl in this world. Jason, who literally died in like the first season, seemed to have such a close relationship as her twin, even though we never really got like how he treated her, like what their relationship was like. Nothing really like in terms of like what they used to do together outside of a few anecdotal stories that Cheryl would tell. But Julian and Cheryl don't seem to have any, like, they just bicker like siblings. They're not really, they don't seem to have like that twin connection. And I'm not saying that every twin has this like super duper connected connection, but it doesn't feel like they're twins at all. Like, it just feels like he's the older brother. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't seem like they have anything. Like, he's like, I got you, girl. Like, don't worry. Like, there's not that vibe with him.
Sorry.
He's just a douche, you know? Like, I don't know.
In this universe, does Jason exist at all? Or, like, Julian has fully replaced Jason?
I think that Julian replaces Jason in this world.
Okay.
Listeners, let us know if we are correct. I'm pretty sure that is the case.
I feel like I saw someone say, like, no, like, Julian, like, ate Jason in the womb.
Yeah, it's like the, I guess, the opposite, right? Because that was what happened to Julian in the womb in the real world. So I think this flip is that Jason is the one that was the third twin that got eaten in the womb or whatever. So anyways, that happens. And then it cuts to Riverdale High, and we have a few scenes to talk through. The first one was Archie and Veronica in the hallway, and she apologizes to Archie about what happened last episode.
Yeah.
She just says, like, you know, I think we got off on the wrong foot, and she wants to kind of start all over again. She's like, reset, press reset. And Archie puts his foot down. He is playing hard to get now.
Archie playing hard to get. No, oh my God.
And it's interesting because how like the rest of the episode unfolds.
Yeah.
But I just thought it was interesting in this moment that he puts his foot down and he's like, no, I think that you're too much for me. Like, right off the top. Sorry to the Varchi
Shippers. Like, we have nothing in common. Like,
nothing in common. Which, again, I think it was one of our listeners that I noted from like one of the videos that we had put out, and how Aria said that there's going to be a lot of echoes from the real original series to like what's happening in this season.
Yeah.
And I feel like the fact that he kind of like shortcuts to this story, like, which is, we're just not the same people. We're just different. kind of cuts the fat in terms of like what the relationship is going to be like.
But
then I don't really know what happens at the end of the episode because
100%. And ultimately this is Varchi at its core. They don't really necessarily come from the same background, but that doesn't mean that they don't have a connection. They have a very strong physical connection and physical chemistry. Whatever that pull is between the two of them, there is still that pull, clearly, right? Like even by the end, like Archie wants her. Maybe it doesn't make sense, or like they don't have things to talk about or whatever, but like it's still there. So and I appreciate that, because it's like, and I appreciate him saying it like, you know what, like you're just too much for me. But then by the end, like there's like a strong physical pull, and sometimes like you can't explain it, you know.
It's just like undeniable physical chemistry. Absolutely. So anyway, so he ditches her. He's like, no, sorry. He walks away. Then it cuts to the principal talking to the psychologist about what happened with, you know, Ethel's parents and how all the parents are now asking what they're going to do to address this. And he talks to the doctor. His name is Dr. Werthers. All these men look the same.
Like, I can't even tell the difference. Like, white, bald, old, wrinkly ass men. Like,
I literally had to write his name down because I'm like, I'm going to just name him like white man one and white man two.
Yeah, like they just look the same.
So Dr. Werthers says we should be like business as usual, pretend this never happened. Like who cares about this whole situation?
About the murder
and like not even really address it with the kids, even though the parents are now asking about it. And I think it's the secretary says like, oh, sex education is the next thing on the docket. And the psychologist says, Dr. Werthers says, I'll teach sex education. Don't worry, we can keep it moving. Cool. Okay, sounds like a plan. Like the principal's like, perfect. Like everything is just like back to normal. Then it cuts to Archie and Julian in the lockers. And shout out to the lockers this episode. We got a lot of locker room scenes this episode, which I was really into.
You know, I have to say I really do enjoy Julian's character. I do. Because in this episode, yes, of course, he's evil a little bit, but like he does push things a lot. Like he puts things into motion for this episode.
Yeah, but I mean, to what end? You know what I mean? Like I don't know. I'm really not a fan of his character, to be honest. Like
I don't know. Like I don't mind him.
There's just something about him that just doesn't make me feel like he's a part of the crew. Maybe it's because he's an outsider in terms of like
he's new too.
He's new and like I wish he's abrasive. I don't know.
I wish he was always her twin. Like, I wish he was, like, there instead of Jason.
I don't know. I'm really not a fan of him. And he is my namesake. He has my name. So I...
How does it feel hearing your name, like, every other scene?
Embarrassing.
Are you triggered?
I'm, like, triggered. I'm like, ugh, he's so terrible. No, I hear your side of it for sure. He does push things along and he, like, gets Cheryl to Archie in this moment. So he talks to Archie about it. He's like, sorry about Veronica. She needs someone like me. And then he listens to what his mom said earlier and says, like, why don't you date Cheryl? Cheryl's like hooked up with a bunch of college boys in the past. And Archie's like, oh, okay, cool. Sounds good.
So this really sold me because I this whole time was wondering how the heck are they going to put Cheryl and Archie together? Like in what universe, in what world? Clearly this universe, but like how is this all gonna happen? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this storyline, like this, the way he like sets it up, like I bought it. I totally bought it. And the way that Archie's like, okay, like she's experienced, like I'm down. Like again, like shout out to Archie just being like the cutest innocent but like kind of boy. Bad boy, like teenage boy, like he just buys into it and he's like, okay, let's go, like I'm down for that.
Yeah. So yeah, anyway, he does that, and then it cuts to Tony inviting Cheryl to the dark room performance on the outside of school, and Cheryl's like, no thank you, I don't want to go, but ew. Like it seemed like she's back to like not liking Tony, like from the dance.
Yeah,
she's kind of reverting back to like fighting her feelings on how she feels about Tony, so she's pushing her away. But Tony, like, you know, she sees through the bullshit, obviously, but she did in the original series as well, like they first met, she was like, she I don't need out. To hear that.
Yeah,
I know how you feel for realies. And they introduced some girl named Lizzo. Is it Lizzo?
Lizzo. I think they were trying to be like Rizzo, like the Rizzo in Greece. And they were like, Lizzo.
That makes sense. I was like, okay, cool. I was like, Lizzo, what an interesting name for that time. But maybe it isn't, like, maybe it is a common name for that time.
Yeah.
But Rizzo makes sense. Because she and, like, is kind of like character.
Yeah, she was. Yeah.
So, yeah. And I guess Lizzo has, like, a little bit of a crush on Tony. But Tony's like,
or, like, they had a history or something. Like,
yeah, exactly. So I wonder if that's going to come back up, because that long shot of her going on her motorcycle, I was like, okay, we don't need, like, anything to bother Shoni right now.
Like, you don't have to start your engine. Like, relax.
Like yeah. down a notch. Then it cuts to our boy Kevin, and he sees Betty down the hallway, and he freaks the F out.
Dude!
And he runs into the other room.
Like, you know when your relationship is over? When you, like, skirt her, like, away from the person.
That part. 100%. He was so... He's freaked out seeing her and approaching her that he just ran into the music room, which he, for whatever reason, just always ends up bumping into Clay.
Yeah.
So he ends up bumping into Clay, and Clay even calls him out right away. He's like, it seems like you're avoiding somebody. I'm like, yeah, himself. He's avoiding his own sexuality is what he's avoiding. And Clay invites him to the dark room performance, the same one that Cheryl was invited to.
Yeah.
And Kevin's like, okay, cool. Like, maybe we'll go. Like, we were supposed to watch a movie together, but maybe I'll bring Betty along, because obviously he's into Clay. Then it cuts to Archie finding Cheryl, and she's like painting this painting. Sorry, go ahead.
Is that when Clay? About... Is that when Clay says that he's into guys, or is that after?
No, that's a little bit later. Okay, okay. In the locker room.
Okay. Oh yeah, yeah.
So anyway, then it cuts to Archie finding Cheryl in the room, like painting her little pinup girl. And asking her out to the movies. And she's like, I already watched that movie, but let's go to the dark room. So they go. So he's like, cool. She's like, I'll pick you up. And then it cuts to Julian talking to Veronica, because Veronica kind of sees some inklings happening. And he's trying to, like, still get in with Veronica.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, she's over him too.
Yeah.
I mean, I know why, because he's a douche and he was acting like a douche at our party. So she's like, okay, I'll go to the dark room with you, because apparently that's where everybody's going. So everybody's going to show up to this performance. Then it cuts to the police office. And honestly, how did you feel about Sheriff Keller making his way into this world?
I mean, how do you feel about cops not doing their jobs? Like,
I mean,
really? Detectives not solving anything. How do you feel?
Exactly.
I mean, he's still looking real good.
We're like, you're still useless, like, but you're looking, you know, real nice up in there.
With that beard, I was like, ooh. Ooh. Okay.
Oh, man. Anyway, it's like my feelings for Sheriff Keller will forever be conflicted.
That's his thing. He, like, distracts us with his, like, zaddiness. He's like, I'm not solving any murders, but that's okay.
He's like, let me take my shirt off. Yeah. Exactly. So he sees, Jughead sees the sheriff walk out with the milkman, who is 70 years old, which was explained in the beginning of the episode. And everyone was already, like, very doubtful that it was him.
Yeah.
And he's literally an old man. So I was like, okay, so it's not him. Mm. And then as he's walking out with the milkman, Jughead, like, sneaks into the office. First of all, it's not that easy to jump into someone's police office, maybe in the 50s, but not now.
And, like, it is Sheriff Keller. So.
Yeah, exactly. He probably left the door wide open, and he's the only one there. So he goes to talk to Ethel, who's in the room being interviewed as well. And she looks at Jughead and she's like, it wasn't the milkman. And he's like, okay, but, like, if it wasn't the milkman, like, what happened?
Yeah.
And she was like, no, it wasn't that milkman. Like, it's not him, but it was a milkman dressed up as a milkman. And so now Ethel's really freaking out, because she's like, is Sheriff Keller going to think that I killed my parents? Like, I'm getting really, really worried. I have a picture, a drawing of me grinding my parents in a meat grinder.
Girl, are you real right now?
Yeah, I was like, first of all, that was should have been the first thing that you burned in, like, the fire.
Literally, like, erase your face from it at least, or something.
Just, like, rip that shit up. I don't know. Anyway, the drawing was really good, but it was very gruesome. For being a potential murderer, she is quite talented. So Jughead offers to go pick it up from the house, because she can't even step foot in the house anymore. Also, as a side note, I was like, isn't that still a crime scene? Like, did they find the body like 2 minutes ago? Like, wouldn't it just be boarded
up? I guess, like, I mean, it is Riverdale. Like, again, like we said, like, they probably, like, came in there, like, looked around, and they were like, okay, we're done now. Like,
so, like, I guess there's no evidence here. Let's just, like, put everything away. Yeah. They didn't even go into Ethel's room and look at the thing that was literally, like, sitting in front of her box.
Anymore. Oh, my God.
Look at Riverdale. So he offers to go get it. Then it cuts to Alice asking Betty to grab Ethel some extra clothes from her place. So I was expecting a moment to happen. But right?
Because that's kind of really random. Happen. It was such a random ask. I was like, wait, what's going on? Like, why is she asking her to do that? Like,
yeah. So like she ends up going to Ethel's place as well at the same like, time.
Way to send your daughter into a literal crime scene.
A crime scene. And that's the thing. I was like, are you not trying to protect your children? Like, if there is a serial killer loose, like, wouldn't you want to not, you know, like, unless they all
you know Ethel. That your husband was a serial killer and he ain't going to kill your daughter.
Ooh, very that storyline. Just as a quick aside, would you be mad if it was Hal? Would you be like, why are we recycling this story? Or would you be like,
yeah, okay, like, guys, we've done this. But I wouldn't be surprised, but I would be like, all right. I mean, I guess I would, whatever.
But then, like, who would you want the milkman to be? That is a better question, I guess. Like, who would you want?
I mean, do I really care who killed Ethel's parents?
I mean, maybe, but if there's more people that are going to be attacked. If they kill someone
else. True.
And I have a feeling, I think I might know who the next victim might be.
Who?
I have a theory. You want to hear now?
Yeah.
I think that they're bringing back some of these characters just for them to be killed again. Like, so who? I think our girl, Midge, who got killed by the Black Hood.
Oh my God. Might be
one of the students that get killed by the Milkman.
You're that is so my theory. Right. Wait, did the Black Hood kill Midge in.
Yeah, he like.
Oh, yeah, I just. Killed I forgot her. He was the one that killed her. Yeah, she was like.
Yeah, he like murdered her.
Oh no, you're right.
So I don't know. Maybe that's what's happening. By the way, I don't really know.
You were right. The actress that plays Midge is very different. I'm clearly, yes. I can't see. And
that wig, like, that wig got you fooled, girl.
Like, it's different, girl. I was like, I don't know, bro.
I know. I feel like we got the most comments on the fact that it's not Midge. It's like the other new character. And also Dilton Doily is apparently the one from the pilot episode and not the Dilton that we've known since the entire series started.
I don't so remember.
Both those characters are different, which I also thought was different. Anyway.
Yeah.
Then it cuts to, Jughead gets into the room. He finds the drawing and right underneath the drawing, he finds the comic book of the Milkman murderer, right. Or whatever, the one that everybody's been reading. And then it cuts to like he hears a noise downstairs, so he jumps out the window. I don't know about you, but the thought of Betty and Jughead being in the same house and him leaving through the window,
I would have loved
felt
it.
Very Bugheady. Yeah, no?
but like I wish they had a bigger interaction.
Yeah, they didn't have any interaction whatsoever. So I was wondering why they were trying to like pit them even in the same scenario, unless it was like just cutting for time, like her finding the sexuality book, which she finds a human sexuality book while she's grabbing her clothes. But I just thought that it was an interesting reason to have them both in the same space. Yeah.
And like, I don't know if I'm just being like kind of petty, but like, do you think that Lily was like, I don't want to film with Cole.
Don't even put me in the same scene as him.
Yeah.
No, I mean, they later on in the episode, they kiss each other. So I don't think she has that kind of pull with the producers.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
Arias is going to be like, girl, suck it up.
Yeah, yeah.
But I do just find it interesting that they ended up in a house at the same time.
Yeah, I kind of wish like they like saw each other like leaving or like something. Like that would have been a cute little nod to Bughead.
Yeah, for sure. And maybe it was like the slightest little nod to like their story, him leaving the window, through the window, I said. I wish that they just bumped into each other.
Hornified this episode. Like she was not caring about
She
Ethel.
Was not into like the murder mystery. No, like she was like Jughead, you do your thing.
Thing on my mind, and that thing is next door.
Yeah, and it is huge. So then it cuts to Jughead reading the comic that he took from Ethel's room, and he realizes that it's the Milkman murderer story. Everybody in town was reading about it like way back. It was like a super popular one. And then he slides the drawing as well as the comic under his bed, like inside the mattress. And I was like, as soon as it cut to that, I was like, this motherfucker's gonna get in trouble, like right away. So then it cuts to the dark room and Clay is performing a poem. Everybody's confused, but Kevin is very like, whatever you say, like, bro. Obsessed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he's like, and it's so funny because Betty at one point, she was like, what? She was like, cool, but like, what is he saying?
Like, what are
and
we he's talking like, about?
It's all about the art, okay, Betty? Like, you're not supposed to really know what's happening, but like, it was really good, okay? Like, he's obsessed with Clay, which is kind of
annoying. I have to say, and I'll just say this quickly, that I think this has been the best Kevin that I have seen in the entire series. Like, I'm actually, like, interested in his storyline, and I'm like, I feel bad for him, and, like, I want to see him with this guy. Like, I am finally invested in Kevin's storyline, and I'm not annoyed by it.
I'm invested, but I'm starting to get annoyed. Why? Because I just don't know what's going to happen and how long it's going to take. Because I want this to happen. And
but
I
this moves quickly,
move.
Though. Like, they,
it does.
They
it
made
does.
It moves is, it this
is,
episode.
It is moving, and... Yeah. I feel like we need to see these moments too. I think it's just because it's also quite awkward to be in this space right now, like him feeling uncomfortable. Anyway, we'll talk about that too. But
I felt so bad. Like, it's hard.
It's hard, absolutely. And I am interested. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I'm still invested. And like you said, I think this is the best story that he's been given so far. And it just makes sense with the time. So I'm totally fine with it. But I'm just interested to see like how fast it's all going to move. Like where does Clay land in all this is what I really, really want to know. But anyway, and also Clay is like just a really cool person to attach him to. Like I like him.
He does seem very cool. Like even the actor, like he just seems very like chill.
Suavemente. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very, I like Suavemente. And I said it like the whitest way possible.
Suavemente.
So then it cuts to Tony doing her spoken word performance with
a little bit of
music and a little bit of dancing. And not only you loved it, Cheryl was obsessed with it.
Oh no, she went more than loved it.
I thought that she wouldn't be able to stand up from her chair after that. I was like, oh.
Yeah, I don't think she did.
She needed to borrow a sweater after that one to wrap around her waist. She's like literally hypnotized by what she's saying. And like literally visually, we see her kind of like watching her do this dance.
Yeah.
And I wrote down serpent dance vibes. It's almost like a throwback to Tony doing a serpent dance for Cheryl, which I thought was pretty cute.
Like, I just love how, like, the entire time, like, she's looking at Cheryl, too. Like, she's not even going to try to hide it.
Front row and center, she's, like, locking eyes with Cheryl. But then as soon as the dance is over, Cheryl immediately feels awkward in her own body.
No, Cheryl, like, literally climaxed. And then she, like, woke up and she was like,
I gotta go. I gotta leave. So she demands for Archie to leave, to take her home. Archie takes her home. But then, like, as he's feeling awkward, this poor guy who's just like, you know, I had a great time tonight, Cheryl, like, just doing, like, the dude thing. She, like, reacts and turns around, gives him a kiss at the front door, walks into her home. She's like, pick me up tomorrow. So he thinks that they're dating at this point.
Yeah.
But then once she closes the door, she starts to kind of cry. Yeah. And I'm just like, oh, Cheryl.
I have to say, so like,
for her.
This episode and thus far, it's been written so perfectly. It really has. Like, to show the moment of her, like, taking him home. And I'm not expecting it at all. I'm expecting her to be like, we're done, Archie. Like, I can't. But instead, she, like, has this urge to, like, kiss him. Because she's like, wait, what am I feeling? Like, maybe, you know, whatever. And then he gets, like, they take these turns. Like, I'm not even expecting them to go down. And then I'm like, oh my God, this is so beautiful. Like, you really see the confusion. And, like, you're acting like, you know, you don't know what to do next. And then she closes that door and she starts crying. Like,
yeah.
It's like.
They're giving us moments that
it's so well done.
To your point, like, in that world, like, in the original world, we wouldn't have seen those moments because. Yeah.
Because they were chasing, like, tree monsters.
That, too. But also, like, they're set in such a time where that story is not as poignant.
But it could have been, though. It could have been because they were all still hiding themselves. Like, she was still hiding herself from her family. Like,
I mean, and she does end up going to an asylum.
Yeah.
Conversion therapy or whatever. But I think that watching it in this world felt more like believable. It felt more like this is a story of probably many women of the time. Yeah. Like, and I don't know, it just really, it felt like, remember that episode where it showed her like her different generations and how one of the generations was around this time period and her ancestor was like teaching the girls to be like more independent. Here's a potion for your husband so he can, you know, get erect or whatever. I forgot what she was trying to do. Yeah. But like it felt very much that vibe. Poppy, was her name Poppy Blossom?
I think Poppy, yeah.
Anyway, it felt very much like her kind of channeling that and being like still secretly gay herself and how she was treated in that world as well. Anyway.
And something also to understand is like they don't know yet what they like I don't think there's she's sitting there being like, I am gay right now. Like she's still trying to understand. And she also because they're even learning about like sexual desires and like for attraction. Sure. Like so she's even being like, wait, what's going on? Like I was watching this girl on stage and like she creamed her pants and then like she's like trying to understand like what happened, right? Like there's a bit of that too, which is so innocent too. It's like, wait, what's going on? Like
for sure, like why am I not feeling the feelings with Archie? Why can't I just like get into it with him? Why don't I have a boyfriend? Why does Tony make me feel the way that she feels? Like makes me feel.
And on the flip side, later on we can talk about it too, but like with Betty and how she's like kissing Kevin and she's like what's going on? Like she's not feeling that like that thing from him, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's just an interesting new take on, what the characters have been going through.
Yeah.
In the original series. So anyway, cuts to Betty opening the human sexuality book under her covers. She turns to the chapter on arousal. Betty. Her eyes are like wide. She's like ready to dig in and chomp into that book, honey. I was like, oh girl, you're going to have a great
evening. Thought they were going to show her like
doing stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like it's assumed that she's like making her way there. Making her way downtown.
Making her way down.
I bet that song is about doing the damn thing.
No way. Vanessa Carlton. Vanessa Carlton would not.
I would walk 1,000 miles into my own pants, you know. Anyways.
Oh man, that's so funny.
So then then it's everybody sleeping. And we have the sexy, sexy dream sequence. Woohoo!
First of all, the music alone was like sexy. It was like,
tribal.
It was like the White Lotus theme song. It was like almost like it was like one octave like down from the
one from exactly. And it's just a montage of like everybody's fantasies.
It was shot beautifully. Like shout out to like the department
set
of whatever.
Design,
like it was beautiful.
Everything. Yeah.
Really, and it really was cool just very like it was something that I just never expected to see in Riverdale. Like truthfully, I was like, this is very like Euphoria-esque, you know?
Yeah, it definitely gave that vibe. It still felt Riverdale to me because I feel like Euphoria would like turn up the volume on like flashing lights or something.
Of course, no, and
seizure or something.
Yeah, but that's true.
I felt like it just was very artistically done.
Yes.
Have that kind of like Adam and Eve energy. It was
primal. It was like primal.
Primal. It was just interesting Betty's to see certain. Like... Yes, hers was like literally lunging like a lioness lunging on like a piece of meat. She was like into that scene.
And
but
even Archie's, anyways.
Archie was going in on Veronica.
Archie's underwear. I could not.
Died. But one of the things that I wanted to mention. So Kevin has his like. Story like his little fantasy of him kissing Clay, and I don't know if it was an artistic choice or if it was just like signed in the contract that like his character or the actor didn't want to like show his body, like show himself shirtless, because I don't think we've ever seen Kevin shirtless now that I'm thinking about it. But I almost thought it lended itself to the concept of, you know, he's having this fantasy of Clay, but he himself physically still feels uncomfortable with his own body.
Wait, was he wearing a shirt?
He was wearing a tank top, and Clay was like
undershirt,
basically naked. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
So I don't know. It
That's
was just
a good catch, though.
I mean, I was paying close attention to everybody.
Yeah, I think you really were. Because I think it's something that like they probably didn't even think about. But like,
they probably
let's believe that it was, because that's very.
Let's just
I like
move
that.
With that. Yeah. So, anyways, so he's making out with Clay in that story, in that, and then Cheryl has her moment with Tony, and it's just sexy.
And with
sexy.
Archie, I think she has a moment
with Archie.
Like, it's kind of like a whole mix of everyone.
Yes,
like,
yeah. I loved it. I thought it was super, super sexy. Such a great little sequence that they were able to plop into the whole series. And like, we watched the promo assuming that it was going to be this fantasy thing, but I didn't know that they were going to do like a full dream sequence. So 100%. I was like totally into it.
Oh my God. It was perfectly done. Like it was so good. And the acting, it was good. Like the kissing was like, it was good.
The funny thing is Jughead in this world, and
Jughead wasn't in that, right? Okay,
yeah. I was gonna say, like, Jughead, and I know things have changed in the last little while, but like, Cole Sprouse, the actor, was always seen as like one of the cuter, like everyone was obsessed with Cole Sprouse when this first show first started, and then you realize that his character really doesn't ever have any like sexy moments.
No,
he just has like cute kissing moments, like with Bughead and all that stuff. But then even when they did the time jump, like he just became this broody loner, and like him completely extracted out of this core four like situation. It just, not that I want it, not that I'm like, oh, where's Cole half naked making out with somebody, like not that I was looking for that, but it was more just like there is once again such a separation from the core, like the three of them and his character doing his own thing, like almost as this overarching like observer. He's never really like in the mix of it all, and I don't know how I feel about it. Even seven seasons later, like do I want him a part of it? Do I want him on the outside? I don't really know, because he's always been a bit of both. Like, do you know what I mean? Does it matter to you?
It doesn't matter to me. But I will say, later on in the episode, when he does force himself to go to that party, I did appreciate that.
Yeah, because right?
It did fit. It did make sense. His motivation to be there made sense. And like him even being there, like showed a different side of him. Like I was legit gagged at him and Veronica. Like I was like, wait.
I can't wait to talk about that. What? Yeah.
So to your point, like I think in this moment, I think it was fine that he wasn't in that. But I am glad that they did put him in the mix for like later on
in that scene. Right. Anyway, so then they have the sexy dreams. Then it cuts to Riverdale High the next morning. And Betty and Kevin are just kind of like hanging out in the hallway. And they're talking about the performances from last night. And Kevin's like, wow, yeah, like Clay was so cool. So amazing. And Betty's like, what are you talking about? Like Tony was on Tony. Fire, girl. She lit up my... you know what I mean, like she like got everybody up and going,
and he was like, well, he lit up my
as they're talking, she's like eating a little lollipop. It kind of felt like very like a Grease like cut 100%. scene, like they're just like sitting there talking, and then there's like this jaw drop moment where everybody sees Archie and Cheryl walk in slow motion through the hallway. Veronica's gagged, Julian's gagged, like everybody's gagged. And it's funny because as much as we know that Betty's obsessed with Archie at this point in time, she's still trying to commit herself to Kevin. So it's not like it like hyper focuses on her face being like, oh, my boyfriend, the one that I really want. Like it wasn't this like obsessive, intense situation. She just looked and she was like, oh, wow. Like he's doing his own thing. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like they could have gone that way, but they don't. They don't.
Until I feel like towards the end, it just gets a bit more obvious. But in this moment, like she's more like, oh, like, yeah, I'm probably just attracted to Archie because like he's like the boy next door. But like, I want to do this with my boyfriend. Like she still was like positioning it like for Kevin, and like Kevin just wasn't doing anything.
Whereas Kevin wants to still like get in it with Clay. So then it comes to the sex ed class led by Mr. Weather Warner. I already forgot his name. The other old white man. And he's like, okay, so to start off this class, let's look at these diagrams. Me thinking that they're going to show like the penis and the vagina.
The banana.
Nothing. It was literally two flowers.
He was like, talking about flowers.
Yeah. So obviously we know that like that's kind of the version of his sex ed. He's not going to talk about it.
Yeah, he doesn't want to talk about it.
In the lounge, Archie complains. He's like, I don't get it. He was so cute. I love that he like just like is the one who like makes it the obvious note, like, bro, what is bees and flowers, like what does it have to do with anything? And
like, why am I gonna stick my dick into that?
He's like, how do I get the petals in my penis? Like, I don't know. So then Veronica offers to host a makeout party because she's like, you're not gonna know anything about like things, because even Betty's like, did y'all read that book? Like, I found my I found this one book and it is lit. Like, you guys need to check this
book out. I spend my nights with that book.
Yeah. And Veronica is like, no, no books, no like flowers, whatever. Yeah. Let's do a makeout party. We're just gonna hang out. And Archie gets very, very excited. He was so cute. I think at that point in time, like,
a Veronica, smile on his face the whole time.
Yeah, Veronica and him make eyes, like, because you can tell that she's now like, come to my party, and he's like, okay,
it's
like,
totally random.
Yeah, definitely not planned out whatsoever. And it's just, it's interesting because as much as we're supposed to assume that like Cheryl and Archie are like together or like seeing each other, like, everybody's fair game. Like, she does not care that, and, like, they like walked into class
it together. It seems like Archie, like, it seems that like Archie wants to like be with someone who like knows what they're doing. Like, he's not like, oh, I'm gonna go like do with like a virgin. Like, he likes the fact that like the person that he's with has experience. That's why he's with Cheryl, because he knows that like he thinks that like she's been with all these college guys, right?
Done,
like,
done things, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, he gets excited. Then it comes to the girls' bathroom, and Veronica's talking to Betty about how like men should be pleasuring the woman, and like, we're the priority. And she even says like, I'm gonna go after Archie. Like, I don't even care. Like, this is my moment. Yeah. And Cheryl's like in the stall, like, so she hears this.
Super in the bathroom.
She's like, excuse me. And then she just kind of like walks out. She's like, what the hell? And Veronica's like, I'm gonna steal your boyfriend. I was like, wow, girl, you're still a bee. Like, what are you doing? Freaking home wrecking everybody. But anyways, then it cuts to Tony talking to Cheryl outside. They're always meeting outside. So Tony says, you know, you don't have to go to any makeup parties to prove yourself. Like, she's trying to like push her
slowly, a little bit, yeah.
Like, you know, little things here and there, because Cheryl mentions the fact that she's like dating Archie now, and like, you know, they're a couple now. And Tony's like, oh, you mean you're like trophy boy that you've been parading around school?
But can I just ask you one thing? Like, up until this point, like, how does Tony know anything about like, how is she saying these things? Like,
I think she just has really, really, really good gaydar.
Okay, no, but like, see, I don't accept that. Like, I wish something had happened like a little bit more intimate. Like, yeah, I know they work together for the school dance, like, that's fine, right? Like, I wish something happened that was a little bit more intimate, where like she like maybe brushed her hair or like touched her or something, where like then for sure like Tony would be like, okay, like, there clearly is like this physical attraction from both sides, you know?
You know what it is? I think it's almost too subtle to like show on camera, but I think we have had some moments like her pulling her on the dance floor and being like, let's get comfortable. Like, true, we can dance together. Like, she does make a few notes to say like, you can be with girls, it's not a big deal. And even in this moment, she was like, you don't have to prove yourself to anybody. And she even gets a little bit of a clue into where that like trepidation comes from. It's coming from her troll mom, who like, she's like, you sound like my mom, you know, like, so she knows there's a little bit of trauma. So I think that slowly Tony's unlocking a few answers, and maybe she's not completely wrong. And I think at that time, coming out and saying like, girl, you lesbian, like,
no, I don't, of course,
I don't even think that would have happened.
And I'm not saying that needs to happen. I was just kind of like, I was wanting like a little bit more of a physical moment, and then maybe Cheryl could be like, oh no, sorry, like, I shouldn't have done that. And then Tony would have been like, oh, like, okay, I think she's like
feeling like some type of way.
Yeah, just like a little bit more of that.
I mean, I do think that like, yeah, I think it was supposed to be a bit of that dance moment, like when we were at the dance. And like, you saw that whole moment where they were trying to get it together, and they had those, you know, they had a few like moments together where she might have like caught on that like she liked her more than just like a buddy, you know?
Yeah.
And Tony's literally like looking at her, like giving her like fuck me eyeballs.
So, 100%.
Obviously, like, it's however Cheryl decides to like react to that.
Yeah.
Tony's just running with that as her interpretation of how Cheryl feels. I will say though, as slow as it kind of seems to be going, I do wish, because one of my favorite moments is when Tony and Cheryl have that handhold moment at Pop's Diner. Do you remember that? Like, the very first, it's like an iconic Shoni moment where she tells her that she loved a girl, Heather, in the past, and her mom made her feel guilty about it, and they hold hands. She puts her hand on Cheryl when she finally opens up to her, and she says, like, you're special and you don't need to change yourself. Like, it was such a gentle, beautiful moment for her to, like, console this girl who's just figuring herself out. And this seems like a more Tony, like, let's cut to the chase. Like, I know you want this. Like, let's go. Like, it doesn't feel as like gentle, I guess I should say.
And
like,
maybe it'll turn sexy. To that. You know what I mean?
It's cute.
Yeah.
And maybe it will get to that eventually. But I think that I'm like looking at that original Shoni moment and being like, oh, this just feels a little different. And I'm not mad at it, because we know that Shoni gets together and like they were a couple at one point. So I'm not mad at it. But like, if we didn't know that context, then I'm like, Tony, you're being a little aggressive. Like, relax.
Yeah.
Anyway, cuts to Betty telling Kevin they're going to this party. Because he was like, I don't know. And Betty's like, no, we are going. You need to like get your sexual moments together. Like, we need to do this. And Kevin's like, okay, fine. Then it cuts to Jughead, and he's being questioned by the sheriff, the principal, and the psychologist in the principal's office. And Sheriff Keller says, someone saw you break into Ethel's house wearing your freaking crown, damn it, like, hat. I was like, bro, you were breaking into someone's house? Like, maybe...
Like, I can't.
Maybe you could have worn a hoodie or something. Like, dude... And then they kind of question whether or not he's a loner, and he's like, no, I'm not. Like, I'm going to a party tonight.
He's like, I'm not a loner. I have friends.
Exactly. So he wants to go to this party to show that he's like not a weirdo, and they can't pinpoint the fact that like it could have been him, who broke into her house. Then it cuts to Kevin in the locker room, and he sees Clay come out of the shower, and he's like, oh, whoa.
Oh my God.
He's like, wow, hi.
He was hard.
He got very excited to see him. And he asks Clay if he's going to this makeup party. And Clay confidently says, you know what? I don't think this party's for me because I like boys. And I loved it. I thought it was so good to see. I was like, oh,
don't waste any more time. God. Don't beat around the bush. He just said it like it is. And he's like, I don't think I'm like invited, or like there's not much for me to do if I went.
Like, yeah, he's like, well, I'm going to kiss some girls for what? Like, yeah. I want to make out with boys. I just thought it was interesting to see it and kind of cool, because I don't know the scene in the we don't know much about Clay and like why he's so confident and open. And I think we already mentioned this, like, why Clay, why are Tony, like, why are they so like confident with their sexuality and who they are? And for him to even like go to Kevin and make the assumption that Kevin's not going to beat him up in the locker room or something. Like, I don't know. I just get nervous. You just get nervous, right? Like, so you don't know how even Kevin is going to like portray himself in that moment. Like, would he just be like, oh, you're a
boy? But the fact that he trusted Kevin was huge. Like, that shows a lot. Like,
it kind of like fast forwards that feeling that we're going to get to, where Kevin can now go to Clay for that conversation sooner rather than later, where they have to have this like push and pull, or like, will he tell 100%. Him that he's gay? Will he not tell him?
Exactly.
Like, at least one of them knows who they are. And I love that it's Clay, and let's go. You know what I mean?
So I don't know where the writers were for 6 years. I don't know if they're new writers this season. I don't know if they were just sort of living in like a drugged haze monsters. I don't know where y'all were for 6 years, but you have written this season flawlessly. It's only been 3 episodes,
so good.
But it has been flawless in every single department. Kevin, Shoni, like Archie on his own, Barchi together, like everything has been written flawlessly. I can't say a single thing that like should have been this way.
So far.
But that's okay. But still, like, we're 3 episodes in, and for them to be tackling these kinds of stories, and we are like pretty much okay with it. And like, I love that. Like, I love this moment. Where was this whole time?
I know. Cause it was a lot of like the tumultuous, like self-hating stuff. And we're probably still going to get that from Kevin, but at least he has a guide. Yeah. With him to like help him pull through, and hopefully that story is going to be a little bit less annoying.
Well, like, he had that guy Joaquin, like, he had all these like great characters that like they could have had these like really cool like conversations, and like it's just never, they never ended up getting to that point. They just ended up like fucking in the corner. Like it's just like, yeah,
like further traumatizing him. Like all the things that he went through were always traumatic, and it's just nice to see Clay be this like innocent moment for Kevin, and Kevin's got to do a little bit of work to figure himself out. And I think that maybe that is the flip, right? Like if we're talking about echoing the original like seasons and then watching him go through what he's going through in this season, it's almost like this is his like, this is his opportunity to like do it right this time. You know what I mean? Like he had these opportunities in the other world, and some things were out of his control, like Joaquin getting killed and like all these like weird things that happened in his life. Like he literally hooked up with Moose in the woods and stumbled on Jason's body. That must be traumatizing on a sexual like level. True. Like he was running around the woods.
But then he went back to that same forest. So it's like
100%. I mean, that's what I mean. Like the choices that they gave him were absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
But maybe this is an opportunity for him. Like maybe that is the mirror and the echo of him being like, this is your struggle and your struggle alone, Kevin. Like, let's get you through that situation, like, together. You know
what truly, I mean? In the next couple episodes, this truly will be Kevin's biggest test to see, like, who he ends up being in this universe.
Right. And the writers. It'll be your hugest test, too, to see if you guys can do
well, that's what it is. When we say, like, that, when we say Kevin, we actually mean, like, the writers writing the character.
Figuring this out.
Like,
anyway, Clay says he's not gonna go, and then it cuts to Betty and Archie talking in his room, and again we get a nice little Barchi moment, which is starting to get a little surprising because they were so far apart in episode one, like didn't even know that they were neighbors at that point, and now they're like in each other, like he's in her room all the time.
Like, but like out. This is the thing, I feel like they are better friends in this universe than they ever were like in the real time. Now having said that, the first episode they go to the diner just to like chat and like talk, and he's like, how was your summer, and she's like, my summer. That was like, oh my god, like I can see them as friends, you know. And then we never got that again. I never got that moment of just them talking to friends, asking for advice, whatever. Like a couple times maybe down the road we saw them
just
that
being
was
buddies
it. Whatever. But like in this case, like it's so cute. Again, he's like coming to her for help, even though like how it's so awkward, like he's asking her for like help on like how to like whatever kiss or being intimate, like, but again he just reaches out to her because they are really good friends, and like they can talk about those things, and believing that they are friends, I can believe it, you know, like I buy into it.
It was cute. It's like again a great take on the like origin story of Archie in this world. So anyway, he asks Betty for this sex book.
He's like, let me read it a little bit.
He's like, can I read it? And she's like, sure, go for it.
I thought he was gonna go home and read it. Like, he's like, no, I'm gonna read it right here.
I'm gonna read it right beside you. And she's like sitting there, like waiting to finish the chapter.
Yeah.
So anyway, he finishes it, and then he still doesn't get it because he's Archie. And
he asks such a cute question that I think everyone has really had to ask themselves when they were like growing up and like they had their first kiss or like whatever. It's like, but how does it start?
How does it start?
Like, where do you go to like start that? And it was such a cute, innocent question.
Yeah.
And then I loved how everything sort of unfolded from there.
Yeah. So when he asked that question, Betty's like, okay, well, like, let's set up an example. So they are sitting at the edge of the bed.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay, well, maybe like there's some ambiance going on. She puts on a record, it's playing some music. And then she gets him to like ask if he wants to get more comfortable.
Yeah.
And then I just looked at my note. So then she asks him to get more comfortable. And then she's like, okay, then maybe like, you know, we like
get a little closer. And then
she gets like, I think she puts his hand on his thigh.
She first puts it like on his knee area, like kind of like lower.
Yeah.
And then what does he say? He was like, and then what happens?
And then, like, she's about to, like, get to the next step. He's like, and then he's a boner.
No, and then she boos it one more time. She's like, and then you get, like, a little bit more. And, like, her hand, like, starts, like, go up. And he's like,
He's like, he grabs a pillow. He's like, I'm so sorry, I gotta go. fucking Archie.
It was so freaking cute.
I died. Because
this entire time, I was literally wondering, I'm like, is someone going to, like, pop a boner? Because, like, they don't know what's happening with themselves. This is what it is. So I'm like, is this going to happen? And then, like, as he's sitting on her bed, I'm like, okay, this is, like, getting weird. Because, like, he started to get, like, really, like, he's like, and then what happens?
Yeah, he's like, tell me more. And then he's like,
grabbed her like teddy bear.
Yeah. And then he's like, I gotta go. I was dying.
So freaking cute. Because also, like, from this side of things, like from the girl's side, like at that time, like you're not understanding everything either. Like you're like, wait, what happened with him? Like, yeah. And then you're like, oh, like, okay, I made him do that. Like,
that's what happened with him. Oh. Okay, Betty, you get it, girl. Like,
oh. Okay.
Like, cool. I loved it.
It was such a cute, innocent, like embarrassing little moment. It was cute.
Yeah. Really, really well written and like acted out.
KJ's been playing this like so well.
So well. Yeah. Then it cuts to the Pembroke, and this is the makeout party. They start out with a game called Post Office, where every guy gets a little letter, and they open up the letter, and the corresponding number goes to the girl that they have to kiss. So these are the pairings. Fangs pulls Cheryl. Awkward kiss, whatever. Kevin pulls Midge. They awkwardly kiss. Like, it is so awkward because, like, literally Midge is like, even though she's not even a part of the storyline at all, she like took this moment. The actress was like, I'm gonna get 5 seconds on screen.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do this right. And she was like trying to hold it. She's like, keep your head still. Yeah. Like, she's like trying to kiss him, and Kevin does not know what the fuck he's doing. So they awkwardly kiss. And then Jughead pulls Betty. And it's really cool because you realize that they don't even know each other. Like, they've never even interacted before. She's like, nice to meet you. And I think it was like a very, very, very tiny
Bughead
moment. I think
he says it. He was like, it's really like,
pleasure to meet you.
Pleasure to meet you. It was very cute. I liked it.
I thought it was great.
Yeah.
And I like I said, it like kind of harkens back to like the innocence of Bughead. Like that first time that we ever meet them, they're just so fresh and like doe-eyed and like a cute adolescent relationship. So it was cute to see that again.
Very cute.
They get to kiss each other, and it was a sweet kiss.
Totally.
You were like,
no, I liked it. I liked it.
Yeah,
I just can't stop thinking about him. Like, ugh,
I know, so but I was into it.
I did like it. But I was like, no more. Like after this, like,
you're like, I know what happens when they call cut. So then Archie pulls Veronica, and she even says it herself. She's like, "Whoa! Like, how did that happen?
That must be destiny."
Yeah, and so she doesn't just kiss him,
bruh. They like ate each other's faces.
She like went in on his face, like made out with him, and she even swaps her gum into his mouth.
He's like, I got your gum.
She's like, don't worry, you can keep it. I was like, whoa, they're really going in with Veronica and Archie.
I liked it. I liked everything. That's the thing. Like, even though they shook it up, I was like, I like all of this. Like, I'm down.
And to your point with Julian, he pulls Tony. Like, this was a douchey moment for me, but like, he's like over it. He's acting kind of like whatever about it. And he gives her like a peck. And then Tony's
like
pretty boy, that's not how you kiss a girl. And then like makes out, like gives, not makes out with him, but like gives him a proper kiss.
Yeah.
And she's like, obviously, like as soon as she like unlocks with him, Cheryl's like in the background and she's like,
yeah.
What? She's like, ew.
And she even looks back at Cheryl. She's like,
yeah.
That is.
She's like, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, I think she gets it, Tony. So then they all pair off. Kevin and Betty kind of go to the room. Archie and Cheryl go to the room. And then Tony
and Julie. Because Veronica tries to be like, Archie, you and me. And then before she could even say it,
Cheryl was like,
no, that's my guy. And she like run away.
And then Julian and Tony kind of connect, but she's like, you can just drive me home.
Yeah, boy. Just drive me home.
I don't even want to.
He's like, okay, I'm down.
And then we get a moment with Jughead and Veronica awkwardly getting paired together.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it in a second because,
literally
in a second, because I don't even know why they have this scene. Back to the Cooper residence. Alice and Hal are in the living room and they watch Ethel just like walk upstairs and then they have like an exchange.
And she looked like so sad. She was like,
yeah, because like her parents are murdered. Yeah, but like, I didn't even understand why they were like, she was like, don't worry, I called social services. I'm like, social services for what?
What? She's sad. Like, yeah. like it just sounded very shady. It sounded very like, I was like, why like, is this so like dark? Like,
yeah. Like to your point with like, why is Hal like, is he the villain? Like what's going on with him? Cause he was like over it.
He
like,
didn't want her in the house. He just was not down for her to be there.
Right. And I just feel like, I don't know. I don't know why they had this scene at all, to be honest, other than showing that Alice kind of stands up for herself.
Yeah,
in a way, like, you know, like I think even last episode I was like, ugh, like LVP is Alice. This episode I was like, okay, like Alice is still kind of cool. Like she's standing up for Ethel, but it was just a random scene to see. Like, why is she walking upstairs? Like, so weird. Anyways, then it comes back to the Pembroke. Jughead and Veronica are talking properly. And I wrote down, for the first time ever, 7 seasons later, we get like a legitimate, proper conversation where I think also because they don't have any history, like they are not the core four in this story. So Jughead is a stranger to Veronica and vice versa. And so they're learning about each other in a very natural way. Whereas like, I think when Veronica and Jughead were in the other world, by then, like she was already attached to Archie.
Like you're my best friend's like boyfriend. Like you're there was like, already all these different. I know you. Yeah.
Exactly. But in this world, they gave them an opportunity to like properly talk. And it's funny because I think, again, one of our listeners mentioned that like, why wouldn't she want someone who is pretentious? Like, you know, like he has all the qualities of a guy that she would kind of be into.
Not in necessarily. Like, let's talk about what they really like got onto. Cause I think she calls him like Holden Caulfield or something.
Holden Caulfield, which
is.
And
then he's like, oh, he's like, how do you know that guy? And she was like, oh, like, she's like, I know like all the like writers and like the artists and like from New York. And like,
it's from the book, Catcher in the Rye. Like it's a character in the book who acts pretentious, thinks that he's better than other people.
Yeah. Like, and so anyway. He was shook that like, she knew that reference and she's right. like, oh, but I know a lot of these things in like pop culture. And like,
she's like, I'm not just like a dumb blonde.
Vibed on that. Yeah. And like, and I was like, they would like, she knows those things and he knows those things. And like, they would start talking about, and then they kept talking about something else. I can't remember what it was. And then he started like giggling a little bit and I was like, oh, like is this like,
you know what I kind of like too, and I was trying to remember like when were the last times that we saw Veronica and Jughead kind of have like any opportunities or moments together. And I remember last season they did that magic show together. Like that was the only other time that they kind of partnered up with each other. So I kind of felt like they had that moment again in this world where they're friends, but they're close. But like, this felt more real in terms of what 100%. A relationship could be versus like them just awkwardly pinning together, like, oh, Jughead and Veronica, you know, like, because they're not busy in their storylines, you know?
Exactly. And I think it's to what you're saying. They are like on neutral ground right now. They are not like, oh, you're my best friend's this, you're this. They have no prior connections.
Yeah.
And so it's just two high school like strangers like talking, like, so overall, like, what did you think? Like, were you shipping?
I was shipping. I honestly was shipping it. I was like, okay, I can see the storyline working. I feel like it's a different version of what Veronica and Archie would be going through because, you know, Jughead, when you really boil it all the way down, like, he's like the kid from the streets and like, you know, he doesn't really have like the money. And I think that has always been the divide between Archie and Veronica. Like, she comes from the high society. Archie's just is like a small hometown boy. Jughead is not even small hometown. He's like small gutter town.
Like streetcar. Like,
literally lives in a streetcar.
But so, they have this other thing that's
like the intellectual thing that Archie doesn't have with her, really. You know what I mean? Like, she can't talk to him about movies or, you know, books and stuff like that. Like, so I thought it was interesting.
And like, to your earlier point, like, you've never really seen like Jughead as like this sex sort of symbol or sexual figure. Like, will Veronica sort of like awaken that in him? Like, will she sort of like wake him up?
Right. But I mean probably not, because I feel like he's like too, like, he probably, like, I feel like if they were to date each other, I don't think it's gonna happen. I just thought it was a great moment to see them together and like even play with the idea of it. I ship it and I think that'd be cute, but I don't know if it will even last, just because the characters just don't feel like they'll eventually get to where they need to go. Like, Veronica is like very passionate. She's like all about the things. I don't see her like jumping in and helping him with murder mysteries, you know.
I'd be down. No, no. But I would be, this is the only way I would see them working, is if like Veronica like sort of like made Jughead sexy. Like if she like they started hooking up and like he sort of like he kind of got this other side to him. Yeah. And maybe like that got him ready for like being in the Serpents. Like it kind of like gives him like this edge. Cause right now he's just like this like nerdy like comic book kind of like guy.
Boy, yeah.
And like I'd be down to see sort of that transformation. But then like yeah, I don't know how else it would work.
Yeah, we'll see. Well,
yeah.
And I feel like maybe they just want to like drop that. Like they just like boop, like the
that's
the
like writers, why, right? I don't know,
maybe just to, like put them together for like I said, for like the first natural time in the entire series.
Yeah.
Because I don't even know, like, comic book listeners, let us know, like, do they ever even make it happen in the comics, ever?
Jughead's pretty, what's the
like,
word?
Like, neutral. Like, yeah, he's like,
asexual.
Like, yeah, very, like, not relationship focused. Yeah. Okay, so then it cuts to Betty trying to kiss Kevin, but he's not even sure what to do. He literally, at one point in time, pats her on the motherfucking back.
Yeah.
I was like, girl, get it together. Cringe. She gets upset because he's not getting aroused.
She's and like, it's Kevin, just, can you me like already? Like,
not even just get a boner, bro. Like, boner.
That's sort of like where it led from the other scene with Archie, where like she just touched him and the guy like
popped.
Like, whereas now she's like making out with her boyfriend and like he's nothing. She's like, cause she like looked down, so she's like,
hello, knock knock knock.
Anyone home? Home? He's like, sorry, he's like, just give it a like, and you know, like, yeah, it's just,
and I felt so, I just felt bad.
I felt bad for both, honestly.
I felt bad for both, but I felt so bad for Kevin, which I don't usually just feel bad for him. I'm usually like, oh, you loser, I feel bad for you, but also like I hate you. This moment made me feel horrible for him.
I know.
Because he was just like, let's just keep trying to kiss. And like the slow zoom out shot of him just like constantly just trying to kiss her, and Betty's just like, like she's like
it's
totally
so
numb
sad
to it too.
When like you have to force yourself to like push through like, it like maybe now feel. If I push through like it'll work like it's so sad.
I just it felt so awkward and like just Kevin being earnest because like, you can tell that like he obviously wants to fight this too just like Cheryl is fighting it her on her own way. Kevin is also not really cool or really trying to he doesn't know how he's gonna get through this either. You know, like how what is he gonna do? You know, he's dating this beautiful girl, can't even get hard, like, you know, it's an unfortunate situation when you're gay in that time. I don't know, I just feel bad for him.
It was hard to watch for sure.
Yeah.
Does this mean they're over?
I mean, I think she gives him one final test by the end of the episode, but we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
So then it cuts to Cheryl and Archie making out, and he, on the other hand, is like getting very excited.
Very, very touchy. It is so weird to see them like this.
I know, because like they're so weird. Like it's never. I mean, it happened like for a hot second last season, like the beginning of season one. But it was just really like funny to see them together. I think it still worked just because the actors are fantastic. But
so good.
Archie's just excited. His hand keeps going up. And she says one of my favorite lines. She's like my Nana says, let's leave some room for the Holy Spirit.
Like, yeah. I was like, oh God, you're so awkward.
And Archie's really cute because he doesn't like, it's not like we've been saying this entire time. He's still wholesome. He's, yes, of course, like a hornified young
teenager
yeah. but he's not disrespectful. He's not like out here, like about to like attack her. He even like admits because I think his hand keeps moving up and she like stops him at one point and he's like, honestly, Cheryl, I'm just so sorry.
He
like,
can't
I just
control feel, it.
He's like, I'm just very excited it. And I'm very nervous. And he goes on to say that, like, you know, Julian told me that like you hooked up with like some college boys. So I just figured that like we'd be good with this and like we can just like do this thing. And that's when Cheryl kind of like clicks in. It's like, what's happening? She's trying to be a little bit more calculated with her decision making right now. She's her head's in the game. She's like, okay, my mom's watching
me.
My brother's watching me.
Does she tell him that she didn't actually hook up with the guys?
She does. She says, you know, this is new for me too.
Okay, so see, I really did appreciate that, because she could have in that moment just sat there and kept going on with this fake confidence and be like, yeah, like I did all these like college guys.
Right.
But she got really vulnerable and she was like, no, like I actually didn't do anything.
But the thing that I love the most is like, despite that, she still like jumps this motherfucker.
Yeah, I was
like,
shocked. She jumps
on this guy. I was like, whoo, girl, okay.
Cheryl Bombshell. Yeah.
She is here to play ya. Yeah, I was pretty shocked that they were gonna turned that like knob on her, because I was like, okay.
And when you look at the differences between like Kevin's storyline and her storyline, why is she able to push through that? And like,
I don't know.
He can't. Like, obviously, we know there's a physical barrier with him, right? Like, there is.
There's a physical barrier, yeah. Yeah. For sure.
But it's just interesting that they didn't like keep it the same for both of them. They like let him have that, and like they let her like get the D with Archie, or right. Maybe. We don't know for sure.
We don't know what happened. She does get a hickey, but other than that, we don't really know what happened. I mean, she does go into detail. Like, she's like, I got pinned.
Okay, but I want to talk about that after.
Anyway, she pushes him to the floor, then the scene cuts, and huge, because she's like, let's go. If you want to like do this, let's do this together. Then it cuts to Betty in her room writing in her diary, and she says, she's like, I'm so unsatisfied with Kevin. Yeah, the end. And she's like, I just want to feel like wanted and sexy and beautiful. And as she's writing that line, she sees Archie just getting changed
in the window. Oh my god, across the way. Good.
And I was like, okay, they're doing like the
dude. Boy, if across I don't the see, room or whatever. If I don't see in this season him climbing through that goddamn window and pinning her in that, like, we gotta see that, because they always allude to like that window. It's kind of like the Dawson's Creek thing, right? Like,
right.
I want to see that. Like, let's go there. You know.
Do you think that they would recreate the scene that she had with Bughead, but now with Archie?
Ooh.
Would you love that?
I would fucking love that.
Rewrite the entire fucking history. Oh, that would be crazy. If
just, now, having like, said that, did they ever do that window thing in like the fast forward timeline? Did she ever climb through his window, or like, I feel like it might have happened. I don't remember.
I feel like you're right. I feel like there was a window moment.
She snuck into his room, or like snuck into the house or something. Anyways, I'm down to see that, just because like I love Dawson's Creek, and like I feel like like it would be a cute nod if like they did something from Dawson's Creek and like connected those two things. That'd be cute.
I'm excited to see what they do with Archie, like knowing where they're at right now in episode 3. I'm very excited because there's so much more room to play. They still have a few more episodes. Like, we have episodes to go. So, like, I'm excited to see the ramp
up. Oh, my God. I'm so excited. Like, it's great.
So then it cuts to the Blossom.
Wow.
I am so excited. So it cuts to the Blossom Res. And Cheryl comes in with the hickey. She's like, good morning, Mom. She's like, hi.
She's like, red's my color, right?
Yeah. And Penelope's like, oh, my God. What is that on your neck? Do you have a hive? She's like, no, I got pinned by Archie. And then I got pinned again.
She's like, no, she's like, I got pinned all the way.
All the way pinned. She was like, oh my God.
She's like, get out of here, you slut. But okay, what do you believe, Cheryl? Like, do you think that they actually had sex?
No, I think that she's playing the game with her mom. Maybe. Yeah. I mean, maybe she did the hickey.
They did, yeah.
I don't know how you stop Archie once he's gone going.
That's what I was. I was like, okay, so she could have maybe like backed off, right?
Maybe.
But like he was down to get it in. Like he was like.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, J-Lag, do we care to see like the first times?
The first times.
Yeah, like them having like sex for the first time.
I don't know. I don't think so, personally. I think that, like, I just want to know if it was a confirmed thing or not. Like, I don't, like, at this point in time, I don't even know if Cheryl, like, got it.
And I'm saying that because, because, like, do we want to see, like, a Barchi, like, they're each other's first? Or, like, is it a Varchi thing? Like, That's what I'm trying to say. Like, you know,
maybe I feel like they might do it in a really classy way. I think the one thing that we do have to remember, and I think that is what was the issue with the original part of the show when like they were getting super sexy with each other, was the fact that like it's still teenage kids, but when they got adult, they were able to like pop off on each other. Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, they still showed like some pretty sexy moments between these teenagers. Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if that kind of plays out. Like maybe we do find out later on, you know, I actually didn't hook up with Cheryl. She just asked me to give her a hickey. And
I feel like that's what's going to happen. Yeah.
And then he divulges that information to Betty, and Betty and him like, you know, do it for the first time.
I just feel, and it could be Varchi too. Like, don't get me wrong. Like I'm okay with either one at this point, but like, I just feel like the whole Varchi thing is like, it's like ready to explode. Like she's explosive. Ready to explode.
Yeah. She's ready to go.
She's
ready to blow. So that happens, then it cuts back to Riverdale High. Betty gives, so this is the moment that I was telling you about. So Betty gives Kevin the sex book and says, finals are coming, you better start cramming. You
literally
this
have
is your final chance 8,000 tests. It in with me, okay. Bro. Give me some D. I don't know. I just feel bad because at this point, I feel like I would, if I was Betty, not that I was Betty, but I would give it up at this point. I'd be like, bro, we're broken up. Like I would have been like, we're done.
Well, she's trying, right? And like, it's so Betty to like not like fully give up on someone. But like, I feel like this is it. Like, this is the end.
She like, said, she was like, finals are coming. And if you fail, I mean, my assumption was if he's not able to get it together, then it's over. So then it cuts to Tony talking to Veronica. And she divulges some information to Veronica, that she's playing the long game. She's like, sorry I left your place early, but I'm playing the long game. Veronica is very curious as to who she was talking about, but Tony is pretty mum about it. She was like, I'll tell you later. I'm kind of keeping it a secret. And she does talk about the fact that Veronica, like, her and Jughead talked all night long. And Tony was like, with that boy?
She was like, really? Too. She's like, really?
She's like, okay, work. And then that's how that kind of scene ends. And then Jughead walks in with Ethel at that point in time. They get called into the office and the policeman is there again. And turns out they discover the drawing and the comic book under his bed. And that is how the episode ends. Boom. Boom, bada, boom, boom, boom. What did you think of like that final ending?
Yeah, you know what? I really did like the ending because the whole episode, we go through it a little bit, but like it's not controlling the entire episode.
Yeah.
And I love that. And like where we started and where we ended, we're still about the murder
right.
in the case, but like everything else in the middle was like so juicy. So it's still steering us in that direction of like, okay, like we got to like solve this thing and find out what's going on. But yeah, I liked it.
I think it's good because, like, yeah, to your point, it wasn't, like, beating you over the head with, like, these two very separate storylines. Because they're very separate. They're very, very different. Like, there's a murder going on while these guys are trying to figure out sex. Like, they are completely unrelated.
Yeah.
But the fact that they were able to be like, oh, yeah, by the way, this is what's happening. This is, like, Jughead done effed up. I'm interested to see how it's going to ramp again. Like, I'm saying, like, I keep talking about ramping up. But, like, I feel like the pacing is working for me right now. Like, there's this murder mystery, but they're still high school students.
So is it working for you?
It's working for me. It's working for me, girl. But yeah, I'm down. Let's go.
Yeah, definitely.
Are you ready for your recap roundups?
Oh my gosh. Are we rounding up? Okay.
Recap roundups.
Best moment. My best moment was jungle sex.
Obviously,
but then also the Varchi boner scene because I haven't laughed this hard watching this show in so long and I just died. I was like, it was so funny. Archie KJ played it so freaking good.
So good. So good. Mine is the sexy dreams, the jungle scenes for sure. That was just really well shot, really sexy times. I loved it. It was great. Yeah. Best moment for sure.
Yeah.
WTF moment.
What was your WTF moment?
My WTF moment, I'm going to go with Veronica.
Yeah, that's
just
a good one.
Because we were kind of waiting for it, but like I didn't think I was going to like it as much as I did. Mm. And it kind of like shook me and I was like, "Wait, like I am kind of down for these two."
Yeah.
And I'm down to see it sort of like progress. I don't know if it will, but like I was shocked at how down for it I was. So.
Right. And I think it's just how, like you said, like Ground Zero, it's just like how they did it. How it just made sense this time around.
Yeah.
I liked it. My definitive moment was Ethel's drawing. I know it's not really a moment, but like I was just like, girl, even though it was fake, I was like, you got some stuff going on.
Why would you draw that?
Like,
that's the thing, too.
What is a weird ass thing to draw?
Yeah.
Okay, girl.
MVP.
Who's your MVP?
The MVP is going to go to the music and the drums because they were, it was so good in this episode.
Yeah.
And then I put N, but I didn't even type it out.
What was it?
I don't know. I forgot. No, my MVP, like, honestly, it's just like, it's the soundtrack for sure.
The soundtrack.
And then also, like, I'm going to give it to KJ Apa because he has been so awesome. Like, really, really, truly fun to watch on screen.
Totally, I agree.
And Archie is just freaking hilarious, so.
Yeah. My MVP is going to go to Betty because I feel like... Yeah. It's kind of following what happened last episode, but like she's really taking hold of her future and, you know, her feelings, her sexuality. She's curious. She's the Betty that like I feel like still has like the inquisitive mind, but also she's taking charge of herself
and like this and confidence. Like confident. I'm loving it. You know,
it's so good.
LVP.
My LVP. If I I said if it ain't his son, it's him. Sheriff freaking Keller.
The Keller boys.
I already know why.
But he's still so hot. My LVP is going to be Julian because I just wrote, why are you here? Like, I just, I know that you express like how you feel about him. I don't feel like he fits. Like, I don't know where he fits, how he fits. Yes, he moved a few things along in this episode. But outside of that, like, I don't know. He's kind of unlikable. There's nothing that I'm really gaining from like him being around, and he just like irks me. Like that.
Yeah, he irks you. Yeah. The best line. My best line is from Cheryl when she says, as my Nana likes to say, let's leave some room for the Holy Spirit. I died. I was like, oh, so Cheryl, shut up.
So good.
There were so many good lines.
Yeah. And actually, to that point, I couldn't even choose between the three that I wrote down, but they almost happened like right after each other. So I want to say they were part of the same lines. They're just said by different people. First one was Tony saying it to Tony talking to Cheryl. She says, bet you've never kissed a greaser before, because she's about to kiss Fangs. And Cheryl goes, I don't even eat french fries, which I thought was hilarious. And then there's a shot of Fangs and Tony talking, and they're watching Veronica kiss Archie, and she's like, or he's like, she's gonna suffocate him. And then Tony goes, but what a way to go.
It was so good. So it was good. Such a good line.
And then my last one is after the kiss, where Veronica goes, or Archie goes to Veronica and says, I think I got your gum. And she says, you can keep it. It's triple bubble. I was like, oh!
I loved it. I would love if that line, maybe someone knows, I would love if that line came from the comics at one point. Like, if they took that from one of the really comics, cute. I would, it was such a cute moment.
The writing was really playful in that scene. I love
it. It was perfect. Like, literally.
Yeah. Okay, are we going to get into our... Oh, we talked about this already. The
question. Yeah, we already talked about that. Yeah. Let's go on to our listener roundups.
Yes. At 25 on it, best moment, Cheryl getting horny watching Tony dance, and Cheryl's sex dream over Tony and Barchi boner moment. Loved it. WTF moment, the Charchi storyline. Poor Cheryl. MVP, Tony. LVP, Julian. Penelope and the writers for this storyline. And best line, I'm playing the long game. Tony to Veronica about Cheryl. Thanks, Shoni 5 on it.
I love how Shoni 5 on it's roundups are always like Shoni.
Shoni related, obviously.
Shoni related. Okay, and then we have at Shannon Amanda. Best moment, Cheryl literally about to combust watching Tony read poetry.
Oh my God.
WTF moment, all Charchi scenes. So uncomfortable to watch. Wait, who's Charchi?
Like Cheryl and Archie.
Yeah, yeah. MVP, Tony. She's so cool this season. LVP, she's cool every season.
She's cool every season. Yeah. I love Tony.
LVP, Penelope for being the worst. Best line, I have a feeling it might razz your berries. And I'm playing the long game. cute. That was good. And then I think we also have at Sierra N. Best moment. Easily the Barchi bedroom moment. Exclamation point, exclamation point. Their dynamic and chemistry feel so different in a good way. Exclamation point. When Archie got the boner and ran away, I felt bad for him, but I also thought it was so funny.
It was
hilarious. Lily and KJ sell the innocence and fun aspects of the character so well. That is so true. And like, it's crazy how we're all feeling and seeing the same things. Like, their acting is what's bringing that, the magic. Like,
yeah,
they just play it so well. Also, the Shoni moments. They are so cute, and it's interesting seeing Cheryl slowly open up again in a different setting. I'm excited for what they have to bring. WTF moment, literally all of the Bevan and Charchi scenes. I was so uncomfortable watching the sex scenes and makeout scenes between them. It felt unnecessary. I know it's because of the time they're in, and it goes with this repressed sexuality arc, but because we've already had these arcs played out in previous seasons, it feels so weird in a bad way, having to watch it happen all over again. I'm really hoping it all ends ASAP. Yeah. MVP, Tony. Where has she been this whole time? Girl, she's been putting in work. Tony's been around. She, like, saved the town last year.
Yeah, this girl's been working it out.
Like, this week especially, it feels like we finally got the real Tony. Still waiting for her parents and backstory, but I'm so glad they are giving her real character moments, as season 3-6 just didn't give her the correct writing she deserved. But she's being so well-written and acted in the season, and I'm loving every moment she's on screen. LVP, Veronica. Like, I was intrigued with her at the beginning, but she's already pissing me off. Like, she hosted such a lame-ass party. And that moment with Archie when she made out with him was so weird and awkward. I hated it. Best line. I'm sure it'll razz your berries.
Yeah.
Shoni is stealing the show, and Tony's forwardness with Cheryl is so entertaining. 3 exclamation points.
Yeah.
Another best moment was the Geronica scene at the end of the party when they realize they have more in common than they thought. I am so excited that they are finally properly exploring this dynamic and giving it time to blossom. Though it gives me doubts about Tabitha when we get back to present day, as I'm more convinced this episode she'll be gone and that she'll be the sacrifice for getting back to the real timeline, as it can't be as easy as going back. Which sucks because I love Tabitha and Jabitha, and it'd be a waste getting rid of her, but they have not done anything else with her this season, and I'm scared they are preparing us for her to be gone by mid-season completely. So... true, very true. It came out that Erin Westbrook, the actress that plays Tabitha, she just wasn't available to like film the first like 4 or 5 episodes.
Her too.
And Charles Melton. Like, it's like literally like a logistic thing that they're not like in it right now.
Wow. But with
Tabitha's, it makes a bit more sense. And like, I buy it, but
right.
Apparently we'll get to, I don't know, like, I'm assuming we're gonna get to see them like later on, but right now, like, they legit just couldn't film. So
right.
Yeah.
Or maybe they just wanted her in, like, very small scenes, like, her just, like, watching. You know what I mean? And she's like, I don't want to change my
But, like, it's true. Like, I don't miss her right now. Like, I'm okay with her just not being there right now.
Agreed.
You know?
Agreed. I mean, I don't think she makes sense right now. Like, where would she be? Like, she's literally exited the scene. And to the point that we made in the first episode, like, maybe that is the end for her. And, like, I'm trying to come to terms with it right now. So
guys, at the end of the day, the season's done after this. So, like, whether or not she makes it out alive, like, everyone's done. It's done.
Yeah. It's done. And we're done. But before we finish up the episode... I would like to take this time to thank our patrons. Our
Rewinder
Squad. White, Cliff, Hannah, and Julia. Our Lit Rewinders, Tina and Kate. And our Mommy Rewinders, Becca, Sarah, and Tamala.
Thank you, guys. If you want to join our Patreon family, check us out at patreon.com/recap_rewind.
And also make sure you're checking us out on all of our socials. Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook. We also have a Tiki Talky. You can check us out there. And you can also find us on all podcasting tingies. Google Podcasts, Spotify, iTunes, everywhere. Like, subscribe, follow, review, and comment to say engage with us at Recap Rewind. And thanks so much for listening.
Bye.